Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Waken ourselves, right? Be aware of who we are, reminding ourselves of who we are. So we got to get to know the real us. Amen. We've got to get to know the real us. Who is the real me? My true identity and who I am. The real me, my Jesus identity. Go with me real quick to Ephesians 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Because I've got to recognize who I am, I've got to know who I am, and then start to live from that. Now, that's a choice every day we have. Everybody in this room has a choice to make of how we're going to live, right? What does Apostle Paul say here in verse 22? He says that you put off, this is interesting terminology, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, the old man, the old you, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be renewed, be restored, renewed in your mind, your thinking, that you put on the new man. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see that right there? You and I have a responsibility now to put off and to put on. I need to put on the new man. I got to put off the old man, the old ways of doing things. Come on, somebody. You're not made to live with anger. That's the old man. You're not made to live in shame and condemnation. That's the old man. You're not made to live with the stuff that you dealt with before. You're not made. That's the old man. And the Bible says you and I have to put off. Take that off. Think about that. Just like a coat. You got to take off the old man and you got to put on the new man. You got to put on this new person that's made in righteousness and true holiness. That's my responsibility. How are you going to sync up with your identity? You got to renew your mind. Look what it says right here, the middle verse. The middle verse, or the two verses says, yeah, that verse 22, that you put off concerning the old man, the hinge is verse 23. The hinge of the scriptures, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then because you're renewing your mind, you now can then begin to put on the new man. How can you put on something you don't know you got? You got a closet, a wardrobe that's before you. It's a choice. What am I going to live by? Can I get a good amen here? Put off and put on. So my identity is the structural steel of my life. Foundations are important. Everybody wants to take care of the, make sure everything looks good on the outs up here, right? When what's going on in the ground is actually what's holding everything up here. You can make this look really pretty, but if the foundation's wrong, that thing's crumbling down. Your identity is the structural steel, the very foundation of your life. What is identity? What is it? The identity is the condition of being yourself with defining characteristics and traits and not another. The state of remaining the same person, remaining the same person under different aspects and conditions. That's what it means to, it's what identity is. It's just being the same person under different circumstances, different situations. That means we don't change. Amen. That's a choice I have to make. Situations come to put pressure on your identity. Every temptation you face is a pressure against your identity. Every temptation you face is a pressure against your flesh. What are you going to give into? Come on. What are you going to give into? What do you mean? Am I going to take that drink? Come on. Am I going to react this way to this person? Am I going to respond in this situation in an ungodly way? So every temptation is coming to put pressure on your flesh, on your identity and who you are. It's a challenge. Now, you know, we are not perfect, and I get that, and I understand all that. But it's still a choice we make. We can walk in this church. So how we perceive ourselves is the driving force by which we make decisions. Kenneth Boa said this: we cannot consistently behave in ways that are different from what we believe about ourselves. What we believe about ourselves. So if you think you're unworthy, and you think that you're not, you don't amount to anything, if you go and you believe the lies of the enemy about how your past, the stuff you've done 13 years ago, and how God had never forgive you, whatever you're believing about yourself is how you live. Listen, this is why we have to wake up to who we are. Now, man, this lit up inside of me this week. I know we've heard this scripture so many times. We quote it here all the time. I quote it here. You probably hear this scripture probably more than any other scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We could all quote it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. How many times do you hear me say that? Now, what lit up on the inside of me, because last week I was preaching up here, and I was reading that scripture off of the back wall, because there was a screen there, and I was like, and it was like the word passed away started glowing to me as I was reading it to you. So I said, you know what? So I just went on. I said, I'm going to look it up. Oh, man. I started looking into this word passed away and become. It's amazing. And I know it passed away, but I just want to read here what I discovered, right? Passed away means to disappear. It means to perish or cease to exist. Now, this lit up on the inside of me. Think about what the Bible's telling you. Your old life, the old man, is gone. Every sin you've ever committed, gone. Disappeared. I was like, oh my gosh. Gone. The old self, its way of life, has been decisively left behind. It's not ongoing or a slow death. It's accomplished in Christ. It no longer remains. There's actually, so I started looking. So there's actually two things being contrasted here. What's the two things? Old have passed away, new has become. That's what's being contrasted. So I started looking up the word in the verb tenses. And the verb tense for the word passed away, I don't want to bore you, but I want you to hear this. The word passed away is in a verb tense. It's called the aorist verb tense, and it actually means this: gone, done, completed. It was a completed, decisive act, never to be repeated again. That's what the aorist verb tense means in the Greek. It's a final act. It does not carry on. It's done. It's in the past. It's done. It's a completed, decisive act in the past. It's a once-for-all reality. It's what it means. Now, the word have become, the verb tense, not mean to bore you. If you let me just geek out a minute, I appreciate it. The verb tense here is a perfect verb tense. And the perfect verb tense is this: it has begun and continually to unfold. It began, but it's unfolding before me. So I wrote this down. This is how I'm going to interpret this. This is my own words. The old life has been done away with. It's gone, it's done, it's completed in Christ. But the new life has begun and is still unfolding. The reality of the new life in Christ is real and present, but it's being worked out into our lives daily. Now, if we could get a hold of that, we walk out of this room different. Think about it. Your old life is gone. Why are we living there? Why are we living? Why are we still in shackles and chains to people that are in the grave? Why are we living there when the new life has begun? And it's unfolding. This is why Paul would say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's this process of recognizing. Are you hearing what? Are you guys following what I'm saying here? This is what I'm saying. I'm saying you got to come to the revelation of what has begun, what has passed away, and what has begun, and begin to let that life begin to work itself out in its fullness in our life every single day. So the old me, the old life, the angry, fussing, cussing, feel unworthy, low self-esteem person, that's the person I don't need to get it. That person's dead. D-E-A-D, graveyard dead. Dead. So I got to get acquainted with this new man that has begun. Oh, come on, I wish I could preach this to the world. Whew. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, if you get any of this, you just get this right here. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Powerful words. You died. Someone tries to bring up your past. You know what you need to tell them? That guy died. That lady died. For you died. That's what Paul said. For you died. Again, there's an aorist tense. A completed and decisive act in the past. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Whew. You're separated from that old life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Therefore, if any man... Bring it back up for me, Marianne. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Old things have passed away. And what? What's the next word? Stop right there. Behold. You have to behold or be held by or be conscious and aware of the new thing that's begun in your life. You got to be aware of it. You got to be conscious of it. You got to be held by it. Behold. Be held by this. Be conscious of this. Be aware of this. That all things have become new. The new life. The dead man. The old man is dead. The new life has begun. So really, listen, it's not a behavior problem. We're trying to fix our behavior. Just fix your beholding. Because if you'll fix your beholding, the behaviors take care of themselves. It'll take care. We're so fruit. And I'm not saying we shouldn't judge fruit. I'm not. Listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. But we are so focused in on what we're doing. Listen, it ain't changing out there until you're aware of something in here. And when you behold that, fruit starts to come. This is what the word, John 15, if you abide in me. This is what abiding is in the new covenant. It's conscious of and aware of your connection. Whether you are walking in it or not, it's still a reality in your life as a believer. You are connected to Christ and you are a new creation. You may not be walking in it. Why? Because you may not be putting off the old man and putting on the new. But you renew your mind. The spirit of your mind, the attitude of your mind, you renew that. And all of a sudden, the new life. That's what's happened to you, Deborah. What's going on? You've been awakened now to your true identity and it sets you free. Everybody trying. Listen, this is really a one step. I believe in the one step program. Ready? One step, out of darkness into light. Come on now. Born again. Old things passed away. Dead man, you died. Now your life is hidden in Christ. There's that word, right? In Christ. That's that covenant language, that union with Father, Son, and Spirit, the union and joining together. He that has joined the Lord is one spirit with Him. You are joined to Him, inseparable with Him. You're in Him. He's in you. You're one. Man, this gets me fired up. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. If I can get you to get this, if I can get this, if I can get this, listen, my problems go away. I might have issues, but I'm talking about the problems. Sets us off. Takes us spiraling down in depression and anxiety. Right? Takes us and severs relationships. This will all end because I'll know who I am. Amen. All right, let's go here. We won't be able to touch a whole lot today, but I need to go to Isaiah 54. So I guess it's not hot in here, is it? I didn't think so. I was just making sure. I was pretty sure that was the case. I knew that. I'm just bringing up some. I wanted to talk to you a minute about that. I want to start down the path of righteousness today. Isaiah 54, verse 14, it says this. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come where? Why? Because you're established in righteousness. You're established. The word established means to stand erect or perpendicular, to be fixed or fastened, to be immovable or grounded, to be anchored. I like this definition of the word established. Some of that's in the Greek, but it means to be arranged or to direct toward it. To anchor. When you anchor yourself down, you're there to, it gets you to stay in one spot. When you're arranging something or go in a direction, it's like guiding you. So your righteousness is there to keep you at your post, to keep you at your spot, but also you're arranging your life. You're actually directing your life according to righteousness. Now, that's what it says. In righteousness, your life shall be directed. In righteousness, your life shall be guided. You shall arrange your life in righteousness, and this righteousness will keep you stable, secure. It'll get you to stay in a spot. That's why the Bible says you'll be far from oppression. You will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Why? Because you are anchored in on righteousness. Anchored in. So many people are still carrying a sin consciousness around with them. What is a sin consciousness? It's an attitude of sin. It's consciousness of the past failures and defeat. Past sin, carrying an attitude, it carries an attitude of condemnation and unworthiness, and always results in intimidation, it always results in doubt, insecurity, inferiority, weakness, and fear. It's Adam. In Adam, all die. Adam's attitude in Adam, in that spot in Adam, talking here about the sin of Adam and how the human race was included into that. Because of that, that's what came. When Adam sinned in the garden, what was the first thing he done? He ran from God, tried to cover himself up. Shame and insecurity. And so many people, maybe not you today, but I guarantee you somebody will deal with this at some point, carry around this consciousness of like defeat and failure. And like, I can't do anything. Just, I hear you talk sometimes. Well, I'm just an idiot, or I'm just, you know what, I'll never make it. I hear you talk this stuff. I hear that sometimes here. You'll talk to me, and I'm not trying to police your words. I'm just saying, I hear sin consciousness coming out of you. Well, I'll never amount to anything. I never do anything good. I'll even say that sometimes in my life. You got to watch. Now, listen, please, don't... I don't want you to be anybody but you when you're around me. Okay? So I'm not here policing anybody's words. Please don't think that. I am not. But you can hear. What begins to happen when you get established in righteousness, you start hearing. It starts becoming a dissonant note. It's like, oh, that got off tune. Now, I'm not correct here to correct people. I'm like, you know what? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you and I, we need to understand, right, that this stuff comes out. And listen, if you've been raised up around religion enough, you will think you're nothing bigger, nothing more than a bag of trash. John Calvin, which was the founder of Calvinism, he said this, that people are just snow-covered dung. No, he said that. That will get in you. And it breeds unworthiness and this inferiority about ourselves. And we'll never truly use what God's given us. We'll never step in and be, and we'll never walk with confidence because we're always wondering, well, oh my gosh, am I accepted before God? And I don't know if I'm, is he really love me? And last week I done X, Y, and Z. And I'm not saying X, Y, and Z was good, but listen, God knew you done X, Y, and Z. So instead of running from him, why don't I just run to him? Am I making sense to you guys today? I got to get established in righteousness. So many people think they messed up. When they mess up, they just lose their salvation. I need you to hear this. Because, listen, you get saved, you get saved. Now, I don't know what happens in your heart. There's many people. Billy Graham said only about, I think he said maybe 5%, maybe 10% of the people. I think it's what it was. It was a small figure of the people that came to the altar that were actually getting born again. There is a worldly sorrow that does not produce repentance, Paul said. But there's a godly sorrow that does produce repentance. See, I have to come before God with the right heart. Now, I can't judge that. I can't judge somebody's heart. I can't judge that. Only God knows. But when you get born again, it's not like you get in the kingdom, out of the kingdom, in the kingdom, out of the kingdom, in the kingdom, out of the kingdom. Well, Pastor Paul, what's the sin that gets you out then? How much? How many? I mean, is it because of this or is it because of this? Well, you've done a little white lie. You're still okay. Right? Well, are we going? What are we judging? Who's the judge of that? See, what Jesus done for you and I, once I accept him, it's once and for all. Hebrews talks about his sacrifice being once and for all. Amen. People look at me and say, you know what, are you scared about saying that because people will just have a license to sin? Listen, I don't need to give people a license to sin. They do it anyway. I'm not preaching greasy grace. I'm not saying, don't listen to what, but I am preaching grace. Ain't nobody I know, and I'm certainly not saying it, just because somebody has grace on their life, just because, you know what, you're preaching grace. Yeah, I'm preaching grace. The Apostle Paul was a grace preacher. It's all he talked about. But if a person thinks because somebody's preaching about grace, that gives them a license to sin and do what they want to, they ain't got grace. That ain't it. Because grace empowers me to live above sin. But when I do fail and mess up, grace is always there to help me. Man, we cut people off. Someone's struggling. Next thing you know, well, I told you so. We just watch it. That's revealing more about you than it is the other person. Are you guys all right? I don't know why I'm saying all that. I'm just saying to you, listen to me. Grace is there. I've got to get established in righteousness. But so many people, they come and give their heart to Jesus. I can't. But all of a sudden, they go and they think they got home, and next thing you know, they've messed up, and they think they've lost their salvation. Your salvation is much more secure than that. Are you guys all right? Talk to you about this for a long time, but listen, so many people are still carrying a sin conscience. So many people think they messed up. Because they messed up, they lose their salvation. They prayed a prayer last week to be saved, and they think they have lost it because of a wrong thought or a wrong action. Well, last I checked, We all still got some stinking thinking going on in our lives. I wrote this down. Listen to me. Some amputees experience phantom pain. Is anybody an amputee in here? Anybody an amputee in here? Anybody? Okay. Well, they could attest to it. Some amputees experience phantom pain. Right? They'll talk about this. People have, like, maybe they have a below-the-knee amputation. And they would still feel like they would be in the shower. And they could still feel the water hitting the bottom parts of their leg. And it's not even there. Phantom feelings. They could actually feel their foot. They'll actually feel their foot. Like they feel their foot. They say, I still have a foot. It's not there. It's a phantom feeling. So they'll have phantom pain. They'll have pain and they won't even, it's not even there. It's not even exist anymore. So they feel a pain in a limb that's no longer attached to their body. And see, this is what happens with condemnation. It's like phantom pain. The devil wants you to feel anguish over your sins that don't even exist anymore. Sheesh. So if a believer doesn't understand righteousness, they will live under constant guilt, constant shame. They'll constantly strive. They'll be in striving, works-based, performance-based religion. Right? They'll be striving, trying to prove to God that they're good enough, trying to prove to themselves that they're good enough, trying to prove it out. Oh, you know what? The more I do, the more that God loves me. When while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Do you see that? See how religion will actually contaminate you and I? And it leaves us in this place of guilt and shame. We'll try to earn God's favor. If you believe you're unrighteous, you will live defeated. If you know you're righteous in Christ, you'll live with confidence, freedom, and purpose. You will walk in your true identity. So I need a righteous consciousness, not a sin consciousness. What do you mean a righteous consciousness? A righteous consciousness is an attitude of standing in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation, and to stand before the powers of darkness to command and enforce victory. It's the attitude of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I don't want to live my life feeling inferior, feeling the phantom pain and living in condemnation of past sin. I need to live like I am free, like I'm truly free, like I've been forgiven, that my old man is actually decisively dead and gone. It is no longer a part of who I am. What happens if I mess up? Well, welcome to the car. You're an official card-carrying member of the human race. What am I going to do? I'm going to go before my Father. I'm going to confess my sin and say, Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I've been a dummy. I've done some stuff, right? I shouldn't be doing. But Father, I thank you for your grace today. Well, I hear you. Pastor Paul, we're going to give people, again, I'm going to say it again, a license. No. If that's the case, actually, that won't happen. We have this fear-based stuff all the time around us. Won't we just let God be God and let Him take care of it? I don't need to be judge and jury all the time. Now, I'm a witness, but I'm not the judge and jury. I'm a witness. You guys all right here? All right, I'm going to show you one more scripture, and then I'll pick it up here next week. Go with me to Romans 3. You get anything out of this today? Just be encouraged, church. Next week I'll talk about how the basics of righteousness. We'll start right there. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. Well, let's go back to 21. But now, The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The righteousness that doesn't come by works, but through Christ has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is he saying? They talked about it. Old Testament talked about it. They talked about Jesus. Even the righteousness of God through what? Now notice it's the righteousness of who? It's God's righteousness. For even the righteousness of God, how's this righteousness come? Through faith in Christ Jesus. To all and on all who what? So when I got saved, right? The Bible says, I have been imputed. Righteousness has been imputed to me. Through faith. Not because I come to church and you need to come to church. You need to be trained. We need community. Right? We do better together. We need this. But my righteousness don't come by that. It comes by faith. And faith alone in Christ Jesus. And God give me His righteousness. Not my right, His righteousness. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Verse 23. For all have sinned. He said there's no difference. There's nobody gets in on this because you're good, the good guy or the bad guy. Or the Jews that was keeping the law is what he was saying. Or the Gentile, the ones that didn't know him. He said there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being what? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everybody say justified. Let's break it down. Just if I'd never sinned. What does justified mean? Just if I'd never sinned. Come on, somebody ready to run a lap? I'm ready to run a lap. I'm telling you, I've preached this thing so many times. I'm telling you what, this week, this came alive again to me. Because this is who I am. I ain't defined by my past anymore. I ain't defined by my failures. I'm not defined by who I was brought up under or any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. I've been justified. January 31st, 1997, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that moment, I was justified. I was made righteous in His sight. Come on, somebody. Not because of me, but everything that Jesus done for me. It's all because of Jesus. It's through faith, through His redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because of Him, I stand here justified. I stand here freely forgiven. I'm standing here freely forgiven by His grace and by His mercy, and only by His grace and by His mercy. I am righteous. I'm going to get established in righteousness. And when I get established, it anchors me. And the Bible says, you'll be far from oppression. Far from oppression. Oppression is like it's the beating down. Oppression. The bondage. You'll be far from bondage. Why? Because you know who you are. Is anybody getting this? How many times? But I'm telling you, it's like a brand new in me. You're a new creation, guys. The old has decisively been dealt with. It is no longer an effect on you unless you let it. Your past don't belong to you. Your past does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Quit going back to your past. Start living in who you are today. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. Put on the new man that's made in righteousness and holiness. Who is that new man? It's the one in you. It's the Spirit of God hooked up with your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's good, Hilda. Thank you. Well, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I paid her. I did. I paid her. I told her at the end of the service just to really. So we'll work on the how much, okay? It's good. Stand to your feet today. Anybody righteous in the room? You better raise your hands. You better clap. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You walk out of here free, man. Ready to take on hell with a water pistol, I'm telling you. You'll spit in the devil's eye. I promise you, you will. Because there'll be a confidence about you. You say, well, that's awful arrogant. No. I'm not arrogant in myself. I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. My boasting is not in me. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him, I can't do any of this. But with Him. That's what true humility is. True humility is this. Without God, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. That's what true humility is. Without God, I can't do any of this. But with Him, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives in you. You are the holy temple of God. You are the holy of holies. You are the naos. The word temple in the Greek, when Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, he said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The word temple there means, it's the Greek word naos, and it means the very holy of holies. What was in the holy of holies in the tabernacle, in the temple? It was the ark. And what was in the ark? Where, what was the ark? It was the presence of God. You are the very holy of holies. You are not on the outside looking in. You are in the, you are in it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord. We are humbled this morning, God. I am humbled this morning, God, that you would do this for me. That you would take a filthy sinner and you would clean him up and make me righteous. You didn't clean me up. No. You made me new. You didn't clean anything up. You trashed the old man and started over again. And you put your spirit in me. That way, Lord God, that we, without your spirit, we couldn't do any of this. Because you've given us a new heart, it causes us to want to walk in your ways and walk in your righteousness and walk in holiness, Lord. This is what your spirit does in us. Without that, I can't do anything. I'm grounded. I can't fly because, Lord, there's no power in me to supersede the law of gravity of the flesh. But, Lord, you put the Spirit in me, and now there's the law of thrust and lift. And, Lord, the very flesh and the things that's putting pressure on us, the gravity of the flesh, it can supersede. We can actually fly and have a power over it because of the Spirit. Thank you today. I want to ask you a quick question this morning as saints pray across the room. You say to me today, Pastor Paul, I don't have the Spirit living in me. I've never invited Christ into my life. You know if you're walking with the Lord. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, you would say this morning, Pastor Paul, today is going to be the day. I'm going to leave my past behind. I want to experience 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old man dying. And a new life beginning. Would you raise your hand real quick and just say, Pastor, Preacher, pray for me today. Just pray for me today. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Anybody in the room? It starts right here.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.